there's any kids that are here this morning are invited to be dismissed for children's church. And for me, it's kind of nice on a Sunday morning. I get to sit with you this morning, and I get to enjoy the preaching of Pastor Britson. Pastor Britson, I've known him for probably almost 20 years now in a number of different capacities. He is the pastor of Bethany Lutheran Brethren Church in Staten Island, New York, and he will be continuing to serve there. And he's also been serving as the regional pastor for about 25 Lutheran Brethren churches that stretch from Florida up to Connecticut and out to Ohio, and I've just enjoyed having him serve in that role. He's here this morning under that banner, and he's here to share in Brian's installation service, and prior to that, he'll be preaching, so I've got nothing more to say. It's all
Good morning. I guess I'm wired up. Okay. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from President Joel Ege, as well as your sister congregations in the eastern region of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren. Our region stretches from Cleveland to Long Island, which puts McAllisterville right in the very center, very heart of things. And it was a joy to be in your Sunday school class. That was powerful teaching, as well as to experience your vision and generosity in ministering to those in Haiti. You're right, I've known Mark since he was a kid. And so Pastor Johannesson doesn't come easy on my lips, but God does work in wonderful, wonderful ways. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 20. Verses 28 through 32. I was going to say one other thing, though. It's good to be back in Pennsylvania. We spent the decade of the 80s up in Mount Bethel and planted the church up there at Tuscarora. And formative years for my kids. Whenever they're asked where they're from or where they grew up, they say Pennsylvania. So I raised four Pennsylvanians in that decade. Acts 20, 28 through 32. Is that going to go up there? Oh, it's not. Okay, then I'll just read it from my text here. Acts 20, 28 through 32. Pay careful attention to yourselves. Literally, that is translated, guard yourselves, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. My pulpit Bible at home has bigger print. Pardon me. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Father, thank you for calling this church, for creating it, for bringing it to birth here. Thank you for the ministry that you've given the people of this congregation, both here in the area and around the world. Thank you for your call to leadership of the elders of this congregation. Would you anoint this service with your spirit that we might all be drawn deeper into your word? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I left my sermon notes. No, here they are. Okay. The old Southern preacher, Fred Craddock, tells the story of his dad and his mom. His mom was a godly woman, one of the pillars of the church where they grew up. His dad was an outspoken skeptic, never darkened the door of the church. Every new preacher they got in their town would call upon his dad and ask him to come, and he would tell Fred afterwards, "He just wants my name in the roll. I ain't going there." Lay people would call on them too and invite him to church all through the years, and he'd just say, "They just want my money. I'm not going there." Then one day, Pastor Craddock got a call that his dad had become very seriously ill. And so he flew home immediately, and he walked into a house, into his dad's room, that was full of flowers and cards, a refrigerator full of food from the people in the church. And his dad was very weak and near death, and he gestured weakly, and Fred leaned down, and his dad grabbed him by the arm, and he said, "I was wrong." "You were wrong, Dad? You were wrong about what?" And his dad said, "I was wrong about the church." It's very easy to be wrong about the church. Now, this county is not exactly unchurched, but would you say that most people in Juniata County live as if the church weren't here? Do you think we have a lot of power over people's lives? Or is the Word of God freely ignored in the way people live? It's easy to discount the church, to get it wrong, because sometimes we seem so powerless in our world. It's easy to discount the church because, well, you heard Groucho Marx's comment, I would never join a club that let me be a member. You know, the church is made up of forgiven sinners. We are being changed, but guess what? We're not all the way changed, and the old nature comes out every once in a while. Churches are prey to feuds and unforgiveness and misunderstandings and all kinds of other sins. And guess what? The world loves to note that. They look at our sins and they say, "See, the church is full of hypocrites." Well, it's not full of hypocrites because we don't claim to be perfect. We claim to be people who are born in sin, who have been redeemed, but still struggle with our old nature. And so you walk into the church, and yes, you'll find love and you'll find compassion, but you'll also find a lot of the same problems that other sinners have. So it's easy to be wrong about the church. Another thing that's easy to be wrong about is why spiritual leaders are called to the church. Now, there's a little bit of confusion in the first sermon text I gave Mark weeks ago. The first sermon title was "Guard Your Treasure," and then it came out into your bulletin as "Guard Your Treasurer," and I offer that person apologies. That's not what I meant. I'm really going to call this message "The Call to Spiritual Leadership." And the first point is the commission of spiritual leadership. It's easy to get it wrong, not just about the church, but about the Christian life. The way we, in our culture, have marketed the gospel to people is that if you come to Christ, why, your problems will be solved. You can come and live on Easy Street. If you have enough faith, why, he'll even make you rich. You won't have any sickness, you won't have any problems, just have enough faith, and you will live the ultimate life of comfort and ease. That's an exaggeration, of course, but that's kind of how the gospel is marketed in so many ways today. But that's not what Jesus preached. Jesus said, "Come to me and you'll take up a cross. Come to me and you're going to have to lose your life. Come to me and you'll know tribulation and you'll know persecution." If I may paraphrase our Lord, "Come to me and you find yourself in the middle of a war. You come to Jesus Christ and you immediately come under attack from the forces of darkness because you are a victory for Jesus Christ, and Satan and his kingdom, they don't like that. And so the church and believers are under attack. And that's why the language used in describing church leaders is, in a very literal sense, military. Guard yourselves and guard the church. Keep watch. It also has a connotation of a shepherd, keeping watch for wolves and poisonous plants and poison water and all the things that you have to guard sheep against that they'll just stumble into. We need spiritual leaders because we're at war. That's the commission. But the first people to be attacked in the church are spiritual leaders. Why have there been so many famous pastors falling into sin in previous years? You all hear about that stuff. Not because pastors are any worse than other sinners, but pastors are the specific targets of Satan's attack. And the Bible spiritually does not make a difference between pastors and elders. There's only one, there's the office of elder and pastor, and then there's the office of deacon, which we call trustee. It's the only offices there are in the scriptures. And so the same attacks that hit pastors who are called full-time to preach will hit elders who are called to lead. And so the first word in the commissioning of elders is guard yourselves. Gentlemen, you need each other. You need to pray for each other. You need to be accountable to each other. You need to be aware that you're going to be under spiritual attack. Remember, though, that greater is he that's in you, that's he that's in the world, but still be aware that you need to guard yourselves. And then you need to guard the flock. I'll bet you that some of you who are my age or beyond can probably remember the day when just about every church in the area preached the Bible. Even the traditional mainstream churches years ago, they used to preach the Word of God. Well, what happened to them? They got young pastors who had been twisted by liberal seminaries, and the young pastors came into the churches, and the elders weren't guarding the flock. They were never confronted. False teaching began to creep in, and then it flooded in. And so you have churches going in all the liberal and immoral directions that you see them going today. And the elders are called to guard the flock. They guard outside teaching from coming in that corrupts the Bible. They also guard the pastor, and they guard one another. That is a calling, and it's a heavy one, and they need your prayers. The second point is the community of spiritual leadership. Now, I found it very interesting. I really identified with Dennis as he taught, because you come into things in the text, and you say, Lord, what's going on here in this text? And you really got to pray, and you've got to, excuse me, I'm going to read it this way. It says, pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock, and then, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And as a former Greek teacher, I never had to teach you Greek, did I? Okay, just Bible college, okay. I would say a better translation is, which he obtained with the blood of his own, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have here in this passage the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, the basis for fellowship. The Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are in eternal fellowship with one another. And when we become Christians, we are literally invited to join the family. In Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, we're invited to join the party. That's why we celebrate. That's why we have praise and worship and thanksgiving. We are joining all the angels and those who have gone beyond before us around the celebration of love, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, notice what it says about the church in relation to the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the one who has, I want to get this exactly right. The Holy Spirit is the one who has made you overseers. The word overseer is translated bishop, which they've been calling me recently, but that's just the word for pastor, for elder, for presbyter. That means spiritual superintendent of a congregation. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now be careful how we hear this. The pastor, and you might, don't get offended when I say this, but the pastor is not primarily called by God. He has to have the call of God on his life. And elders have to have the call of God. But the presbyter, the overseer, is called by a congregation and is responsible and accountable to the congregation. It's a church calling. And the congregation, in calling the elders, becomes responsible and accountable to them. They are God's spiritual leaders. A tremendous amount in the New Testament about this. But they don't operate independently. They operate in community with one another and in community with the church. So the Holy Spirit calls them, but the Holy Spirit calls the presbyter, not the wandering prophet, but the presbyter, the elder, through the church. So it is a churchly office. It doesn't stand independent, even though the Holy Spirit is involved. Notice what it says here about the Father. It says that the Father, you know, when you prepare a text using one Bible, you always know where to look. And then when you get a traveling Bible, all of a sudden it looks different. Okay. To care for the church of God which he obtained with the blood of his own. Mark and Brian and Dennis, it's not your church. It's God's church. It belongs to him. And he treasures it. That's why I was going to call this Guard Your Treasure. The church is his treasure. It belongs to him. And Jesus Christ gave his blood so that the church might belong to the Father. And so this is not a corporation. This is not a business enterprise. It has that side to it, of course. But this is God's family, and it belongs to him. And we are called to treasure and to guard this church. Thirdly, this is the hard part, the cost of leadership. Remember, I already touched on this, so I'm just going to mention it now. Wolves are out there. Wolves are out there to attack the church. False teaching has invaded the evangelical church in ways I never thought I would see. And so we are called to guard the church. Wolves can also come in and try to foment division, even though they seem to have the right doctrine. They can have very bad motives. They can cause division. They can cause conflict. And elders need to be aware that they will be of necessity involved in uncomfortable situations sometimes. There's no way around it. This is not an easy job you're calling these men to. But it's going to happen. And Satan will use people to try to cause false teaching or disunity in a church. And then that calls for the next point, the burden of caring. Paul said, I remonstrated for you with tears. Now, some people are more sympathetic and more, you know, obviously compassionate than others, true? That's just different personalities. But every elder, the longer they're there, no matter what their personality, the longer they're in communion with another and prayer to God, will begin to feel the weight of God's love for his people. And it's part of the pain, isn't it? Because God's people mess up. Sometimes they wreck their lives or other people's, and that's just part of the pain of being a shepherd. So this is going to be part of the job, and you just pray that God, who also burdens you, will give you the strength and the encouragement, because there are negative, if I can put it, sides to this. And then finally, the fourth point, The confidence of leadership. The confidence of leadership. I now, he says, commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This church, the Church of Jesus Christ, of which this is a local expression, was not founded by man. That's why, in spite of all these different denominations and all these things that we have that seem to separate us, yet we can act in concert together, because we are all founded on the Word of God as long as the Word is still preached. The Word of God has founded this church. The Word of God will keep this church through the leadership and through the faithfulness of its people. And guess what, guys and gals? One day, I love that song, one day in heaven we're going to sing in perfect harmony, because Jesus' victory is guaranteed. And we will be together one day without sin, without division, in perfect union with one another, and Jesus and the holy angels praising and worshiping him forever. It doesn't look like it now, but it's already started. He will give us that inheritance. So you're called, gentlemen, to a difficult job, but a job the closest to the shepherd heart of God that you can get, and a job in which he promises to be the real shepherd, and we are just his under-shepherd. Lord, bless these men as they take on the leadership, and they, some of them are already in that. Lord, give them your compassion and wisdom. They have a difficult task. But Lord, you are the true shepherd of the flock. You're the chief shepherd, and we pray you'd use them to guard your flock. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward, if you would. And let's see, Mark and Brian, just sit there, and I'm going to ask in a minute. You and Brian, sit. Just do what I say. All right. Okay. All right. I mean, you can't stop being a teacher, can you? Let us hear what the scriptures say about the office of elder. Dennis.
This is from 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 11. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now you two guys trade places. I want you to be picked up on this mic.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ryan Watts, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God and it is the only source and rule for faith, doctrine, and life?
Yes.
Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Do you love God's children?
Yes.
Are you willing, to the extent that God gives grace, to work for the purity, edification, and peace and growth of the Church of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
As far as you know your own heart, are a desire to serve God and a desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ and to grow in Him the motives which have led you to accept the responsibilities of being an elder?
Yes.
Do you find that the Constitution of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren is in harmony with the Word of God and the confessional writings of the Lutheran Church?
Yes.
Is your faith in agreement with this Constitution, and will you follow it?
Yes.
Do you accept and will you work in harmony with the Constitution of this congregation?
Yes.
Will you, by the power of God's grace, live a holy life, properly care for your family, and carefully and faithfully discharge your duties as elder?
Yes.
Will you watch over the flock in which you are placed and overseer? Show yourself a pattern in good works. Care for the spiritual growth and discipline of the congregation, and let no false teaching which is contrary to God's word make its way into the church?
Yes.
Do you, as members of Good News Church, stand by your choice of Brian Watts as an elder? Will you, at this time and as long as he shall serve faithfully among you, support him with your prayers, encouragement, and cooperation? If so, answer yes.
Yes.
Do you stand by your decision to serve as an elder of Good News Lutheran Brethren Church?
Yes.
Okay, come forward and kneel. Lord, Brian must be feeling what Paul so often expresses, who is worthy of these things? Yet none of us is worthy of salvation, none of us is worthy of service, none of us is worthy. We are called by your grace, and you've called this young man now to serve as a leader in this congregation. Anoint him, equip him, empower him, protect him as he becomes your servant of servants, as he leads the spiritual life and the ministry and the vision of this congregation. Father, you have called him. We affirm together this call. We extend it to him. He has answered. Oh God, we seal this before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray as Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, brother. You'll be in my prayers. Okay, just one more thing, gentlemen. Brian, I hereby install you as an elder of Good News Lutheran Brethren Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the enabling grace of God rest upon you as you serve in fulfilling this ministry for which you have been chosen and ordained. Amen. No, you're going to give your response.
I'd like to thank you for all your support and for selecting me as the elder to join Dennis and Mark. And it's been a quite a learning experience this first year with Mark and Dennis and with Tim as well. And I know that there's many, many aspects of being an elder, and a lot of which I'm going to learn as I go. But I look forward to seeing to the fact that the word that Mark preaches from here is the word of God, and that's what we're led by. I know that I'm going to be called to see that the members of the congregation also follow the word of God that they hear. And I look, that's going to be a challenge, and I know that's going to be a challenge, and each one of those I'm going to need to have your prayers and your support in order to follow through and make sure that as elders we follow God's word and make sure his instructions are met. So it's a challenge to make sure the proper scriptures are preached and that the proper scriptures are followed. I need to be an encouragement to all of you. I need to lead by example, which I try to do in my own home. So it's what I want to try to do, to lead by example. And when I'm not, I need Mark, I need Dennis, I need you to remind me of that, because I'm not perfect, as Mr. Burston reminded me this morning. But through repentance, I can be blameless, and thanks to the word of God. So I just ask you for your support, for your prayers. This journey is just getting started for me, and I just ask you for your prayers and your support. Thank you.
This is a fun service. Enjoy this very much. I'll ask you to turn in your hymnals to number 277, The Church's One Foundation, and if you would stand and join us as we sing.